welcome to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the 12th episode of season 2, Heir to the Demon. I'm one of your hosts, Amanda Konkin.
I am your other host, Michael Cohen.
And we're here to talk about Arrow, as per usual. And I'm back! Hi, everybody!
Yeah.
I hope you missed me for a week. Although I will say, I mean, it was nice to hear Curtis. He did a good job.
Yeah, it was nice having Curtis.
So it was nice. They always, and I mean, it's kind of nice. Every season, you guys get at least one episode where there's legitimate talk about comic books.
Every season. This is the second season.
Every season. I don't know, assuming that in the future it'll probably happen as well. But it's nice that you get to talk about legitimate comic book things. Because that's something that we don't really delve into our comic book reading things in the beginning of Quiver usually, because I don't read as many as you do.
Because you can't be bothered to read the stack of comics that I gave you.
Why do you have to say so negatively like that, Mike? You can't say can't be bothered to.
Because I'm publicly berating you so that you have pressure and then you'll do it.
It's going to just make me less... It's going to make me angry every time I pick up a comic book. I think I've done that before. Where I've looked at a comic and I've been like, Michael! Grr.
Well... Don't be mad at me. Be mad at yourself, because you're only letting yourself down. There's so much out there to consume, and you're just...
There's so much of everything. Do you have any idea how much...
Watching Korean dramas instead of reading...
There's just different kinds of media. I can enjoy both equally, and...
No, I don't discount your ability to enjoy things at whatever level you want to enjoy them. I'm just telling you... Fact, you're doing it wrong. Okay?
I'm doing it differently than you would choose to do it.
No. Some of the comics that I gave you, I guarantee you, are better. They are a higher class of media than some of the Korean dramas that you're watching. I guarantee you.
Everything is relative.
No, some things are fact. Some things are fact. Not everything is relative. That is a false statement.
I disagree.
I reject the premise of that statement.
I reject your face. We're off to a good start, Michael. This is good. But why don't we read some emails?
Okay, yeah, we've got some
emails. We talked for a good hour before about...
Yeah, we've talked ourselves into a silly state.
We have, because whenever I'm not here for a week, we have even more to just like catch up on and talk about.
Yeah.
So it's a thing. Let's read some emails.
Okay, I'll start. We've got an email from Brandon Bryce. The subject is spoilery, read after watching episode, which we always appreciate. Dang, that was an amazing episode. I give all the credit in the world to Katie Lotz. She acted her butt off, and she did a phenomenal job. My jaw dropped when she did the salmon ladder.
Awesome.
So cool.
So good.
I thought I was imagining it. The looks from Diggle and Felicity watching her do it was hilarious. I'm happy she can stay in Starling City and help out Team Arrow. However, I love Laurel, and I want her to still become Black Canary, so I'm conflicted, but I'm going to enjoy the Lance Sisters. I'm really excited to see more of Laurel's character and story. I feel that the further she falls down, the harder it will be for her to get up. But when she does, she is going to rise. Like Bruce Wayne did in The Dark Knight Rises when he climbed out of the well. Oh, Katie Cassidy was amazing, and the scene in her apartment with her, Sarah, and Mama and Papa Lance. Like that. The anger she had for Sarah was so frightening, I thought the apartment was going to shake. At least Laurel didn't tell Sarah, "I hope you rot in hell more than 5 years," like she told Oliver in the pilot episode. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah,
that was so long ago.
Yeah.
The ending of the episode showing Sarah hooking up with Oliver isn't good for a sibling reconciliation. Laurel blames her for taking Oliver and her dream life away in the past, and now she hooks up with him again in the present. When Laurel finds out, she is going to go crazy. So much for my dream of the Lance sisters clubbing in Verdant together. That's from Brandon. Yes, many a salient point in this email.
Yeah. The salmon ladder thing was just so awesome, because
yes.
I kept watching it going, they're not really showing the face. They're not really showing, they showed her face!
It was totally
It was just for that last bit, too. Like,
yeah.
It was, I mean, you never know, but it was very impressive.
Yeah.
It was very cool. And awesome, too. I think it's awesome that she's back in Southern City. And
I love that this show is not afraid of strong female characters. And we've talked about it so many times before. But I just love that they just write their stories, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the characters are just characters. Mm-hmm. Their relationships are just relationships. And as we saw in this episode, not a big deal, right? Like
what a great use of Nessa.
Yes, that was so incredible, and it's so rich,
and it's such a great motivation for those characters,
yeah.
And just gives a story. It's not just like there's a vigilante coming and it deals with different kinds of stakes. It's so fascinating. And
just a completely left field, but totally natural, totally believable way to tell that story and to have that aspect into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel... I think there was another email that felt like... somebody felt like it was a little bit sensationalist and that maybe they were bringing it in as like sort of a titillating thing. But I really don't feel that that's what it was. I think that they looked at it and they went, how do we get ourselves out of the situation that we've written ourselves into, which is that Sarah cannot be in Starling City, but we want Sarah in Starling City.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one thing that's going to override this oath that she's given to the League of Assassins? And the answer is love. Like, that's the only thing that gets her out of it. It's not vengeance. It's not... The more people she kills,
the worse it is.
What's the one thing that's going to get her out of this?
Yeah.
And what's the one way that we can do this? And I'm sure that the conversations in the writer's room probably went all over the place. Do we make it like some lieutenant? Do we make it... Did she have a thing with Ra's al Ghul?
That makes no sense. Yeah.
We can't do that.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Should we use Talia?
Yeah.
No, we can't use Talia because there might be Batman stuff going on. Like, what's one step removed? Nyssa, the other sister that not as many people know about, that wasn't just featured
and
in the Batman
movie,
it would
make a lot of sense in terms of how she discovered it, because she's the sister that I think Ra's al Ghul wouldn't be as concerned with his daughter. Like, what?
She's not the first one.
She's the one that he cares about her and respects her as a child.
Yeah.
But so she has enough clout that she could let Sarah go, right?
Yes.
I believe that. But also not so much that he would be super invested in Sarah.
Yes.
Like that. So I think that that's like a perfect choice for them doing that. And I want to come back to what Brandon was talking about, this Laurel stuff. I finally found how excited I am about Laurel. I want her to go really dark. I'm super stoked.
You said
on that
during the episode.
If that is what they are doing, I just, as much as people talk, and I think Curtis said this last week that he wants Katie to die and then Laurel to become Black and Grey still.
Yeah,
and I just don't see them doing that. I don't see them doing that.
I hold to what Steven said in our interview.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he's an actor, he's not one of the writers, but I think he has insight into the characters that we don't have. And the way that the writers are writing the characters. And that is that these are meant to be definitive versions of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And in that conversation, he literally says, I'm not playing the TV version of Arrow, I'm Arrow.
Yeah.
And Sarah, like, Katie is playing Black Canary.
Yeah.
And, like, they're the definitive... They're trying to be the definitive versions. And to me, what that says is that we're not... This isn't...
like a misdirection or
a misdirect. This isn't Smallville. It's not like oh, what's gonna happen? Oh, Jimmy Olsen's not actually Jimmy Olsen. They both have the name Jimmy Olsen, and this other Jimmy Olsen's gonna go on. Like, I don't think that that's what they're doing with this show. I think that they brought Sarah in because they looked at the character that they built as Laurel,
mm-hmm.
and they went, there's something else that we want to do with this character,
mm-hmm.
but we want to have Black Canary.
Yeah.
How do we have both?
Yeah.
And they went, let's bring Sarah back. Let's make Sarah the Black Canary. They'll never expect it.
Yeah.
And we can do X, Y, Z. And now we're starting to see X, Y, and Z come to fruition.
Yeah.
And it is so much more interesting than what we as fans had in our heads.
Yeah.
And I think to erase that by killing Sarah and having Laurel take on the mantle, I think that's, first of all, what we all expect to happen.
Yeah.
So it's not where they're going to go with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real disservice to both actresses.
Yeah.
Because that is not the character that Laurel has been portraying. And yes, characters can develop over time. But we also see what happens, and go back to Smallville, what happens when you try and force a character down that path.
Yeah.
They tried to make Lana into... something else, something yeah. other than what her character was in the inception of the series. Mm-hmm. And it just got so murky and muddled and all of these ridiculous things that by the time that I think they got her to where they wanted her to be,
it just didn't make sense.
It didn't
anymore.
Work in the series, right? Yeah. She had burned so many bridges to get there, and so many problems had occurred that, you know, what would have been really cool on Smallville if Lana would have turned into a villain, right? Yeah, and she almost did in season 6. Yeah. But like, if they had just gone full on, like she just became like. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like a super villain.
So this is the thing, and I remember saying this all the time in season 1, that something these writers do really well is they maintain a consistency of character.
Yes.
And what they are doing right now with Laurel is they're being really consistent to this character that she's created and this journey that she's gone on, that it would be disingenuous, I think, to this person that Laurel is to, once her sister dies, become the Black Canary. It just doesn't make sense in my brain. But in this episode, I saw something that Laurel could do so well.
Yeah.
And that is become an antagonist.
Yes.
Because she already is emotionally becoming an antagonist.
Yeah.
And she has so much weight as someone that people love and are invested in that it would be a heartbreaking journey for her.
Imagine if Malcolm got his hands on Laurel, right?
Man.
And manipulated her in some way and said, like, I know who's responsible for doing this to your sister. Yeah. I will mold you to be.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, I don't even want her. She doesn't even need to be a supervillain. I want her to be. I think it's even more interesting if it sort of happens on her own.
Yeah.
To this point, because the best villains are the ones that think that they're doing the greatest thing, like the right thing, and that everybody else has wronged them. And that is what I get from her. You sort of get this with Slade a little bit. They're doing it, right? But not to the same extent, because we've sort of seen there was, like, instances that happened with Slade where it's like, this happened and this happened and this happened.
And there's a little bit of, like, he's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
now,
he's kind of crazy. Yeah. But Laurel is not crazy.
No.
Laurel is just dealing with things that are hyper-emotional. Anyways, I'm really excited to see where they go with this. I thought they did a great job today. And how amazing were those flashbacks with that family? And they're
so
entertaining.
So
and
good.
And that was just, I'm going to talk about it while we're actually watching it. But it's just so good. I'll read this other email because I apologize that
go
we have
it.
A lot. So this is a new reader. This is Alan Seppa. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. And the subject line again is, spoilers, wait till you watch the episode. So that's good. Thank you very much, Alan. We appreciate that. So, hey guys, I'm a first-time writer but long-time listener, and I gotta say that I love this episode. The look on Oliver's face after Felicity told him the truth was incredible. But even more incredible was the fact that we never see Felicity say it. The way we find out that he knows, by going in for the hug with Moira and hearing him so coldly say, "I know." But what I really don't get is all this hate for Laurel. The main point my writing in was that I think Laurel summed up what the writers are doing to her character when she told Sarah that she stole her life. Love listening to you guys. Keep up the good work, and thanks for reading my email, Alan. So I guess we talked about Laurel before this actual email, but that's definitely, Alan, what you're talking about.
I like that aspect of it, though, where Laurel now, like, it's coming out. She feels like Sarah stole her life, like everything that she was supposed to have. And I think a lot of things became really clear in this episode. And we knew about the, you know, they're going to go look for a place to live. But we... The last time we saw it from Oliver's perspective.
Right,
Which was, oh no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was his young Abercrombie Oliver, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go on a boat and cheat on you with your sister.
Yeah.
When I get back, we're going to break up.
Yeah.
Like,
And
I think the interesting aspect of it is that happened last season.
Mm-hmm.
And then this season, we spent a lot of time with Sarah and Oliver justifying why they're together and how they could be together.
Yeah.
And at one point even vilifying Laurel a little bit and saying that, like, you know, like, that they don't belong together. They've never belonged together.
Yeah.
And they Sarah and Oliver are really sort of like they're a better couple. And, like, there's a little aspect of it where we've been manipulated into it, but I think that now we're starting to see, like, I don't think that they were doing it to try and trick us into being okay with the relationship.
They wrote it because they wrote themselves in such a way that hadn't originally happened, and then they had to go back and manipulate us into thinking that it did always
happen. But also, like, now is the payoff, because now we get to go, Like, it's this great conflicting emotion that we're seeing in these emails that we've got.
Yeah.
Of, like, oh, awesome, Sarah and Oliver are back together.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Sarah and Oliver are back together, yeah, right? Yeah. And that is, that's awesome drama.
Yeah.
Because when you hold two opposing emotions
yeah.
about a situation with characters that we've grown to love,
yeah.
that's good TV.
Yeah.
Like, that's when TV is at its best.
Yeah.
And where you can say that this is one of the best written shows on TV right now.
So good.
And people are going to discount that because it's genre TV, and I think that's really unfair. And because it's on the CW, because the actors aren't as well known or maybe aren't as seasoned in some instances as Bryan Cranston on Breaking Bad or whatever other AMC show you want to throw out there, right? But
the nuances in this episode were particularly great.
The effort that these writers are going through, I think, is every bit as valid as any of those HBO, Showtime, AMC shows that everybody holds up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that they're running around in leather outfits shooting arrows at each other, doesn't do it a disservice at all, because that's the story that they're telling.
Yeah.
But in the eyes of a lot of the general public, for the people who don't embrace genre TV the way that geeks do, it's a much more harder pill to swallow. Like, I know that my parents would not have an easy time watching this show.
My mom started watching it, and I'm really excited. Or I think she's watched, like, an episode or two, and she's sort of like, what's it playing? And I'm like, watch it on Wednesdays, Mom. The thing that I think is sort of this tricky line, too, that you're talking about is that we're saying that Sarah knew what Ollie was.
Yeah.
And it's somehow... There's always these interesting things. I did a feminist debate last night, so I'm sort of a little bit in this sort of place of critical thinking about gender studies. And anyways, Team Sailor Scouts won, by the way, if everybody was listening a couple weeks
ago. If ever there was an episode to bring some of this stuff up, it's this one.
Yeah, it's this one, which is great. But the tricky thing that you get in is that she says, Sarah says to Laurel, before she chooses to go on the boat with Ollie, is, you know how many people he slept with, right? We both know at least 10 people he slept with.
He's not domesticated.
He's not domesticated. And Laurel just completely not seeing that, or just being...
She wants what she wants.
Yeah. And that somehow getting Sarah to go... Like, it's just an interesting thing that Sarah knows about Ollie.
Yeah.
And somehow justifies... her then being one of those people is sort of this weird thing that happens. And obviously we're going to see on the island, I'm so excited, that we're going to see on the island what happens with this. Because she goes on that boat knowing exactly who she is.
Yeah.
She still knows who she is when she sees him on the boat and they've got this relationship and they're sort of talking through all these things. She still does know who he is, but they're growing together in a way that's really interesting and fascinating that will eventually lead us to that beautiful moment in this episode where she is dying, and he says, not again.
Yeah.
And that is just so... that I'm waiting for the moment on the island the first time.
Yeah.
Like, that is what I'm now going, okay, there's a relationship, and that's what they're leading us towards, and I'm just so...
I think the boat's going to get blown up. Like, I think that's what's going to happen, is that the boat's going to get blown up, and that's, like... Because we know now that, like, Nyssa finds her.
Right.
And takes her to Nava Parbat.
Which is great. Oh, I'm looking forward to that story,
but I don't,
too.
Who knows?
So many things.
Maybe she really does die, right? Because if you go to Nava Parbat, there's a Lazarus pit, and you can bring people back.
So you never know. Oh, I'm so looking forward to that, too. What a great use of this character today. Oh, and I didn't even talk about the rest of Alan's email. Felicity telling Oliver about Moira. That is some of the best acting that I have seen this whole show, is that when Ollie is up on that stage and you just watch Moira listening to him, it's just...
Everyone that was in this episode, with the exception of Diggle and Thea, they all had moments.
Mm-hmm.
Roy was not in the episode.
Yeah,
he was absent. Slade, very brief, but he had a little bit of a moment.
He got not quite as powerful.
But... and I guess Sebastian, not as, but like for the regular, for the cast, series regulars, for the regular cast members, they all had these phenomenal moments that we'll talk about when we get into it. So let's
get into it.
Let's jump right
in. And you know what? I'm just going to say, even though Diggle didn't have Mona, I love that Diggle's around.
Yes.
Like, don't care. He's not a superfluous character, which I love, because as much as we go through these episodes, we don't really notice Diggle, but we do. We would notice his absence, and I really like that.
Yes, we would. And
that...
And well, it stuff will come back. Yeah, I mean, they've laid the groundwork for a lot of stories.
They have, and it's so great.
I'm hitting play right now.
Yeah,
so
we're gonna. Oh, there's so much to talk about in this episode. I'm really excited about it. Yeah.
On the previously
just,
on.
Even just from these emails, so many. I guess yeah, that's the four big things. But anyways, super satisfying episode, and I'm really excited to get more into it. Loving what they did with Nessa and all of these. Previously on a lot of gravestones. We saw Sarah's grave today too.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, Sarah at her own
yeah,
grave.
Yeah, at her own grave. So this previously on. Oh, you guys were talking last week about how it's great to have Walter back.
Yeah,
totally great to have Walter back.
Yeah,
I really enjoy Walter as a character, and I like him being around as sort of a character.
I liked the implication that he was slightly more involved in some of the duplicitous stuff that Moira was up to.
You're
starting
to get
knew.
That a little bit. Yeah, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that he's not like. Season one, we got very much this image of him being an innocent bystander in all of it. And in this episode, we're starting to see, not so much.
And I didn't see the guy slip stuff into her drink. I didn't get that in the first time I watched the episode, like the last episode.
Yeah.
Look at this convention center airport.
They did a great job of making this look like an actual
airport.
Right?
It's amazing. It's nice and blue. Anyways, good first appearance. I mean, we know she's important. We know she's coming. So you sort of...
That's quite the hat. That's a nice black Indiana Jones hat.
It's great.
That's very specifically an Indiana Jones fedora.
She is such a striking person.
What kind of
passport does she have?
I didn't see what that was.
I saw the back of it, but I didn't actually see what it was.
Look, it's Asian because there's some sort of Asian writing on it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I didn't see it at all. Along the top there was some.
It was a red passport. If anybody knows what kind of a passport, where she's from. That's interesting. I'd like to know. And Argus, so Argus security alert. And obviously, it's an intense security alert because there's a gun at her head. It's not as if they just asked her to come away.
Yeah.
And then, oh, man, look at this. Oh, it's just pretty stellar. She uses a pen. That is all she uses. And, oh, I didn't really see all the nuances of how a pen and a piece of cloth, like...
She's dangerous. You had said like, oh, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't just send a guy right up to
with
her.
With a gun?
And I was like, well, it depends on what that file says.
Yeah, it's
depends on
enough.
How dangerous.
Maybe they're like approach with gun and use extreme caution. So good. I'm glad that they're keeping this Moira thing going with the. It's not just diving in straight to the campaign, but it's a thing that we're now setting her up as this campaigner.
Yeah, we got to build up to it.
And you're right, Thea around in this episode, but not really a main part of it, which is
I think she might have like maybe two lines.
Yeah, I don't even know if she has any, right? Yeah. She's just sort of there, which is kind of cool again because she's supporting and all these things. And it's great, Walter. I kind of like this that Moira is sort of this nice respect for him, but they're not actually dating, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And of course, Felicity being awesome this episode and just really intuitive and digging maybe where she shouldn't be digging, but
definitely getting in over her head a little.
Yeah, but being really great in terms of being on top of things and knowing who to talk to and knowing what to go through. So, I like this. She becomes... And I'd forgotten about Tempest, really. I know that it's such a big thing, but also...
Yeah, I think with all of the trial stuff that we had sort of... And so concerned with Malcolm and the and the earthquake machine that we'd kind of forgotten about the...
Ollie knows about the boat, though, right? Does he know about that yet? Because I actually was just thinking about that. Maybe that's another thing that she actually didn't tell him. Because does he know that the boat was sunk on purpose by Moira? I actually don't know if that was... Who figured that out?
Well,
it was
Felicity
just Walter.
And Walter. Yeah, I guess Felicity, Felicity never went in.
No, Felicity
she
didn't actually
know what's
see
actually
the
there.
Boat. No, yeah. She just knows something about Tempest.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. I forgot about that. So this is sort of a whole bunch of things that is leading towards... Anyways, I'll go back and fact check that, obviously, but, Alex Kingston back! Yay, Alex Kingston! So excited! She didn't even really say anything in this episode. She just got to be a hostage and a mom, which is kind of an interesting, you know, because Alex Kingston, River Song from Doctor Who, kicking a lot of butt, but in this, she's just sort of a kidnapped victim, which is sort of odd. But
see, now, like, you have the whole Doctor Who side of it.
I do.
Now, I know her more so from when she was on ER.
Oh, okay.
So for me, it's like, this is a little bit more what I would expect from her as an actress. And I, like, not to take anything away from it, but
it's just okay.
I think, like, you have that perspective, but I think that a lot of people probably just
from
have
her ER. Okay, fair enough.
If fair any enough. Perspective whatsoever.
Fair really. Enough. So this is interesting. This is the first time that we get that it was an OD, which I and so we're sort of unraveling.
Or at least
this.
It looked like one.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, I thought I had said last week when we saw that guy, I thought that it had something to do with Sebastian Blood, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah,
had something to do with the whole Deathstroke thing. Mm-hmm. But there we go. Like that. I was curious as to what that
speck in the eye was.
Yeah. What the specks in the eye meant, and if maybe it had something to do with the Mirakuru or something.
Yeah. But it's,
and that was like an indicator that she'd been dosed with it in some way.
Right.
But no, it's going to turn out that it's snake venom.
Yeah. Did they not? They didn't really explain it other than snake venom.
Oh,
right?
Snake venom. I mean, they're assassins, venom. Right?
Yeah.
The League of Assassins.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So I guess, but the thing is, I mean, if they wanted to kill her, wouldn't they have actually killed her? But or is it because Laurel came, or because?
Well, they didn't.
Sarah
they didn't
came.
Necessarily want to kill her.
Right,
they just wanted
sort of,
to draw Sarah out. Right.
Oh, I love Paul Blackthorne so much.
Yeah, some good moments between them, and then here's the
salmon ladder. Like,
holy
oh,
smokes!
She's actually doing this. This is just. Oh, look at these actors. That's, you're right. That Dale and Felicity thing. They're so great. They're just like the greatest.
Yeah.
Pair of people. They're so fun.
Well, it's
great. To start that episode, to start this scene, she had to actually be hanging there and jump down.
Yeah.
And do you have an idea how much time it takes for them to actually set up and do the, like, cut or the action and the rolling and all that stuff? That's impressive. And she actually does it quite...
Well,
I
she's in fairly good shape, as we can see right now.
It's true. It's good. I like her being around.
She's very... Like, I like that she's just as believable... As Oliver.
Doing the
right?
salmon ladder? Yeah, it's true, because they're both just, that's what they do. They're both active people, and they both keep fit, and I didn't even think that's a good choice.
I can think of actresses in roles in other genre shows that I look at and I go, I don't know if I'd buy that,
right?
Like, I don't know if I'd buy the superpowered mix. But with Katie Lotz, and she's got the background, the dance and the martial arts.
Yeah.
And so that definitely sells it, but it's great. Like, it's just it's my thing. I am of the complete opposite of opinion of what Curtis said last week. They can not to disparage Katie Cassidy or anything like that, but just like what they've done with Laurel's character. If she died this season, I don't think that I would really miss her that much. But if they killed Sarah, I would be writing letters.
Right, yeah.
Like,
was,
I'd be upset because I love her character so much.
I think it's the easy road to kill Laurel. I don't think they can
just
kill
Laurel.
I
don't think they will.
And the thing is, this is a great, this flashback to the home. So first of all, how much do we love that Detective Lance just was like, I'm going to call the Arrow because I know my daughter's there.
Yeah.
And then this flashback, I love that the flashback this week are this family flashback. Yeah. Like, this is so great.
And I love how
just so fun
different
and
they are.
Look at the brightness in this house, and it's just so...
The color in Paul Blackthorne's skin and his hair.
It's just so great.
He looks
hair.
Like a different person.
He
like
does.
And he looks younger, and,
his and
voice is,
her hair
is very different.
His hair is different, Laurel's hair is different, or Sarah's hair is different, everybody's hair is different. It's sort of just really... I just think it's just such a nice change from these flashbacks. Sometimes they just use them... In different, they always have flashbacks, but they always use them differently.
Yeah.
I love this. So anyways, and we have her texting. This is the first indication, right? Because we didn't really know what it was. And now we get that.
Yeah.
You get the indication that maybe this
you
is.
Can place it in
right?
time that like this
time.
Is
this
days
is right
before.
Yeah. And then this, look at the change in tone. Like, it just gets so much darker. And it's just so fascinating how they can change the full color palette and everything. I love that there's still Christmas lights up. Like, that's kind of...
Well, I think they're in a Chinese restaurant, so I think it's just lights.
It's just lights in general?
Yeah.
Oh, they look like Christmas lights.
See, here's the thing. In the UK, they have a much better term. They just call them fairy lights. It's not season-specific.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Whereas here in North America, we call them Christmas lights, which means that like if they're up and it's not Christmas time,
it's like a big...
It's like, what's the deal? All
right.
Yeah.
They're interesting. I like that the icicle lights can be used in a lot of different ways. I like those. I feel like those should be used more often. They should use all through January and February, because January and February are so depressing and cold. They just need a little bit more. We should change them into winter lights.
February is Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's dark in its own way.
Very different perspective from me.
Sorry. Anyways, talked over the cafe scene. But I like that they always meet in that same place, which is kind of cool.
And yeah. They must have torn down the Big Belly Burger set.
Yeah, because it's like, that would make more sense today. Look how cool this the use of the, what are these called? Ribbons or whatever they are. I think it's super cool. Silks. The silks. Yeah, thank you. And this is so great.
It's because they have a stunt person on the cast.
Silks. Yeah,
it's cool. That did stuff with Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, so it's...
So, that's the... So cool. Oh, man. I'm not going to talk over this.
Yeah. But you get it sort of as she's walking towards Sarah, you sort of get
reveal.
You sort of get that she's not maybe going to be a threat.
Yeah.
Just the way, even that they've set her up to be sort of like this slow.
Sorry, we're just fast forwarding through commercials.
But it's just, it was, what a great way to use this character. And it just, the whole, it's just so.
It's just this, it's left field, but like I said, it still feels natural and organic.
It's not totally.
It's believable.
Right?
It's not sensationalist. It's not titillating. It's not played for the sex appeal side of it.
Yeah.
It is literally just a part of the story. It's a relationship that happened.
Yeah.
And I think among everything else that this show has done and shown us and that we've talked about on Quiver, it's just, it's so progressive, and especially for a network like the CW that tends to be very heavy-handed with romance, for this to be underplayed, right?
Yeah.
I think it just says a lot about the producers and the writers of this show, and really everybody, like the cast, the crew, everybody that's involved, that they do stuff like this, and that it's really well handled and really thoughtful and purposeful, right?
It's just, I don't know, this. The two between the two of them is so
she says Ra's al
Ghul, and this is the conversation
and
we're having
later on in the episode.
Sarah says Ra's al Ghul, even though she's right in front, she's right there.
Yeah.
She hears Ra's. She obviously knows that he's called Ra's by his family members, and she calls him Ra's al Ghul.
So here's the thing.
This is the conversation we had a couple podcasts ago.
And I talked with my friend Andrew, who has done extensive research on this.
Okay.
Because he's anal about that kind of thing.
Right.
And Andrew said, Ra's al Ghul, and we got the email, Ra's al Ghul is the proper Arabic pronunciation of the demon's head.
Okay.
So that, if you're basing it on that, then that is the proper pronunciation. If you're basing it on the Batman animated series, it's Ra's al Ghul. Because they say, like, he says himself, it's, or Talia says, it's Ra's al Ghul. Like, it's a common mispronunciation. Mm-hmm. But I think the whole point of this, the whole point was just to keep that alive. Because
it's just
the thing with the character.
Yeah.
Some people call him Ra's, some people call him Ra's. And rather than say definitively, because Batman Begins, it's definitive, he's Ra's al Ghul, right?
But on this, that they have the ability
They're just keeping it alive, the debate.
Like that British
Ra's
burn, by the way. You know what they say about British people? They're liars. British burn, sorry.
Terrible liars.
Terrible, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways.
This is one of the best scenes in
the
episode.
Oh, it so is. And it's so weird because Felicity usually plays against Ollie.
Yeah.
She's different when she plays against Moira.
Yeah.
And it's something about those two characters just being very grounded and sort of severe in this. I just love it. I think
the confidence is picking up.
Yeah.
If you remember back in season one, the situation like this, she would have been very stammery and frightful. She's definitely afraid here. She definitely feels
over
her
head. Oh, and she gets her little bit of parts where she says, I don't know what I was going to do, right? I sort of just came here and...
She's still Felicity.
Right? She's still Felicity, which I love, which is so good. And Moira is not threatened by her, which I like.
Not in the least.
Because she should be,
which
I think is interesting, and it's the one thing that not a lot of people can undermine Moira.
Yeah.
And I think in this episode, what we get is that the person that she felt was not worth the big sum of money bribe, and that she could manipulate because she knows relationships and manipulation well, was actually the person that just couldn't. Like, it's just so brilliant, and that's. I think the brilliance, too, I think Alan wrote in and saying that the brilliant part of this episode is that we don't hear Felicity tell Ollie.
Yeah.
We don't. And it's so good.
Yeah.
And anyways, so this...
But
and,
I just...
And,
I...
The, oh, you know what's highlighted? I just remembered that she, at the beginning, says, who? With Miss Smoke? I love that. That Moira just doesn't even think Felicity's worth her time.
Hasn't even acknowledged it.
And then she knows that her name's Felicity, so she's like, oh yeah, Felicity, right. Felicity, I know who you are.
I just love that it's a return to season one, like the first half of season one, Moira. She was very unlikable. When we were sitting there going, before Malcolm showed up, she's up to something.
Yeah.
She's the bad guy.
And
we're sitting there going, she's the one who's doing everything.
So here we get really the thing about Sarah, and I kind of like this, is the idea that I didn't really get, I sort of knew there was problems with the League of Assassins, but it's the killing so many people.
Yeah.
Like, she's okay with going back to Nanda Parbat, and she sort of is okay with that oath, but I think it's the, like, killing people, right? Like, that she didn't have a problem with sort of the relationships that she was there and not being with her family, but it's the killing people. Which, as you get later on, it's not as if she wants to stay to be with her family or a different kind of love. It's just that she can't kill people anymore. And I kind of like that idea that it's just weighing on her soul.
Yeah.
So it's...
Because Nyssa is so tied to that world that there's no way that they can be together.
Yeah.
And so, like she says here, I loved you.
Yeah.
Right? But now... Now she doesn't, because she just recognizes that they are from two different worlds, and she can't keep going in that world. She tried, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the interesting thing.
She genuinely tried.
Yeah.
Like, she was genuinely a part of that world and lived it.
Yeah.
And then her family was broken, and she had a chance to escape from that, and she did in a different... Yeah. It's really interesting. So here we got the idea that Malcolm Merlyn, the idea of people being able to leave. So that Malcolm Merlyn was actually able to leave, so he was gone, and that there is the possibility that Sarah can as well. So we get that a little bit in this setup.
I'd like to know a little bit more about the story behind Malcolm and how he managed to get away. But.
Yeah, and did we have that moment here? This I sort of misunderstood, but did she let Nyssa kill her there if she wanted to?
She sort of did say that if you need to kill me. Yeah. I think this is one of the most interesting things about Sarah's character in this half of the season, I guess in this episode.
Oh, this is the greatest moment of the show, though.
The what?
Yeah. And then his look. Like, that's just such a great...
I love that her delivery both times is exactly the same, even though she goes, sorry. And then she just gives him the sass all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
But for different reasons.
Yeah,
right?
Different
sass.
Like,
when it was
it's great.
I think she was... Her character, Sarah's character, is... She's been through so much, and she's seen so much, and there's so much pain that she looks at it as relief. Mm-hmm. Like, go kill me.
Yeah, yeah.
And this can be over.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it just, it keeps eluding her almost, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting aspect.
Was that photo of Laurel and Ollie in the foreground where she's hugging him and he's standing there with his hands down? I'm pretty sure it was. We can fast forward later and look at it, but that was interesting. It's just sort of a set thing that sort of tells more of this characterization.
Yeah.
But so this idea that Laurel's very invested and sees what she's wanting to see, perhaps. They are, this always happens to shows once they find their groove.
Yeah.
They do have to go back and somewhat rewrite characters, like sort of retcon in some ways.
Yeah.
So, because this is not the Laurel, right? The Laurel that we first met, I think that genuinely had a relationship with Ollie.
It was a little bit more like Sarah.
Yeah, a little bit more. Anyways, they're making Laurel more of a victim now.
Yeah.
In a way that will believably make her emotional journey just work.
Yeah.
When she becomes evil. Sorry. It's an interesting thing. And this dynamic between the two of them. Look at Laurel taking up those scoffs from everybody. So,
Detective Lance is happy for most of this episode.
Right, yeah. Needs someone else to do the scoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that conversation between the two of them, pushing... So, we can see how Sarah has justified herself from that conversation to be like, you know what? I don't even care. I'm going to go.
They're both justified. Right?
I mean, Laurel's completely right. Sarah... stole everything, but
Sarah is also right. Oliver wasn't gonna stay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like it, he wasn't going to have this little perfect domesticated life. It wasn't gonna happen.
This is super cool, by the way. They do have at least three fight scenes in every episode.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. There's at least three action sequences, and every episode they do something new and different
with their, that, like, the car chases are always different, yeah. right? They've had so many car chases, never, but they're still...
It's not Smallville, where every episode somebody gets hit over the head.
Yeah, and can't remember stuff.
Yeah, and Clark is doing something, lifting something really heavy, and then there's kryptonite, and so he gets sick.
Yeah, you can't
right? move. Like, yeah. like, there was, like, a formula to the encounters so in, cool. in a Smallville episode.
Oh, so cool. Anyways,
but it gives it less of that Power Rangers feel.
Oh, if anybody knows, I want to know what it's. I think I'm pronouncing her name wrong, but Nessa or Nissa.
Nissa.
Yeah. What her weapon of choice is, because I think it's telling that she brought a bow.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because it's particularly making her a foil for Ollie.
Yeah.
So I just want to know if that is usually her weapon of choice, or if it was a like an intentional choice that she would have made to make herself. In Sarah's mind that, I mean, because she's not silly she or stupid. She knows what she's doing, right?
Yeah.
So, sort of interesting.
Fast forwarding through more commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is interesting that they would choose to go that route because Katrina Law, I think she's capable of many different types of stage combat. She was on the show Spartacus, which I still haven't watched, but I want to.
Nice. Yeah, she's great. Just from this episode alone, I'm kind of like, hey, I'd like to see another stuff.
But yeah, they definitely used her. I guess Sarah's got a thing for archers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Maybe that's what it is. Oh, it's she's doing it well. Anyways, we're back at Starling Hospital.
Yeah, back.
Apologizing.
Yeah, because they're Mama Lance.
Yeah. Oh, this is a great. And this is great when she's having the conversation with her dad.
Yeah.
And to get me to come back to her, I kind of like look at like Laura, like his reaction is so perfect, and he gets that beat afterwards too, which you know is sort of like a different shot, right? Because it's now on her, but he just continues that through line, and I really like that. I just love Paul Blackthorne so much. So good. Anyways, so we get...
Love that costume design
for
Nissa.
Everything about her character is so great.
That just solid. It just really sells the world, yeah.
Yeah, and this idea that she really does... This idea that she is a villain.
Yeah.
Even though she's sort of... She has this side that's obviously really grounded and believable and this relationship, but also she is a villain.
It's a bit of an Anakin side to her. If she's not going to come willingly, then she'll possess her any way she can.
Yeah. Is that a fictional football team or is that a real football team?
I don't. It wasn't a real one, but I would imagine that's a.
Yeah.
Because Gotham City is the Rogues.
Oh, okay. So I wonder if this is.
Metropolis is.
Because that would be wicked if they actually filmed that football footage. They probably didn't.
No, I'm sure it's just like some college football or something.
Look at this, how great he is.
He's different.
So fun and just like, and you can just imagine what their family was like.
There's no weight.
No,
right?
There's
like,
no
he's
weight.
Just, he's
in,
really
in
light
how he talks
and happy.
And,
but here's the moment.
Yeah, and it's just, it's done so well. Look at Ollie's face. Look at that photo, man.
Totally
that
different
is,
character.
Oh.
And now look at him here.
I know.
They just like couldn't be like night and day. Yeah. So different. Yeah. So different.
There's a lot of shots. I don't know. Felicity is pairing off with a lot of different people. It's going to be interesting. I'm really interested to see what the dynamic turns into with this Arrow team with Felicity and
Roy.
Sarah.
And Roy.
Oh my gosh. Felicity, Roy, and Sarah now. Oh, this second half of this season is going to be stellar.
It already is. Kaz 547. Somebody tell us what that is.
Oh yeah, Kaz 547. That's gotta be something.
Yeah.
You are correct.
It must be.
I like that Sebastian Blood didn't get forgotten about. I sort of thought he was gonna get forgotten about or they would have to have a scene of some kind, but they didn't. They just sort of bring it in here, which is kind of interesting. That he's still around.
It's still happening, yeah.
It's still happening because I keep forgetting that there's actually like a big through line to this season, but I'm caught up in all of these other little ends that they keep continually tying up. So here we have Moira being, you're right, first season Moira is back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's early first season Moira.
This is a really good scene. I you know what? I think Sebastian does have a good scene here because this whole intimidation thing, he's very much, I don't know if this is intentional, but I feel like he's very much channeling Malcolm Merlyn.
Oh,
right? Oh, and like, and that's why Moira is able to stand here and go, look, I dealt with him, I'll deal with you too. Yeah.
And he has this interesting point though too, this idea, are you fragile or are you not? And it's because I think she actually believed that she was fragile at the end of the second first season. I think she had convinced herself that she was a good person that had done stuff for love, and now is going back to being perhaps. So it's, I think he points out something that I think she is unwilling to point out herself, or just this. So it's interesting. And might we just say these are the other, you know, the two parts to this title, heir to the demon, right? That we have Ollie, heir to a demon as well.
Yeah.
And, oh, and Thea, because of Malcolm. Man, multiple levels. Oh, it's so good.
And Laurel, because of the alcoholism with Quentin.
So crazy.
there's a lot of demons, and it's a lot of sins of the father sort of thing.
This is a beautiful scene here. This idea that he says in the past 6 years, that I'm just happy to hear you had someone that cared for you. That's just such a beautiful response.
Perfect.
It's just such a perfect way to deal with that. And they don't need to actually just deal with it, right? They don't really talk about stuff.
No,
they don't,
it's
right?
done. Like
it's done.
The situation's put to rest. We don't need to have a whole conversation about it. It doesn't.
And I would like to say without sort of, I mean, this show is usually pretty good for hitting a certain diversity quota, but they haven't had a lot of queer content. So it's kind of nice that they're bringing a little bit of that in. I mean, it's not, I mean, there are not like standard queer characters on the show consistently because now Sarah is obviously back in like a heteronormative relationship with Ollie.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's nice to sort of see that they can deal with it in sort of a responsible way. I'm looking forward to them maybe doing that more in the future, which would be interesting. But yeah, awesome fight. We totally talked over it. But during that fight scene, I was sort of like, where's Detective Lance? And then he punched the dude. And I'm like,
yeah. You said it. You literally said it and you punched him.
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
You're just fast forwarding through more commercials. No, it was pretty perfect.
Yeah.
You're like, where'd Detective Lance go? And then just this fist comes out and knocks the guy out.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, there he is.
It's pretty great.
There was an email saying that somebody said that they didn't particularly like that fight scene. They felt like it was a little bit too easy for the guy to get the poison.
Oh,
and we're back. We're back. Now.
In the same convention center that was previously the airport.
So, below, just for everybody who likes our little trivia bits about locations, on the floor below them is where they shot the airport sequence at the beginning of the episode.
They use this convention center tons, actually,
a lot.
In the past.
Yeah, because they also use it for his party.
Yeah, they dress it really well. Yeah. They do a good job of this. Anyways,
they do. It's also, I think it's in the upcoming RoboCop movie.
Something like that. They use it. It's easy to rent.
Yeah.
So, look at this shift here in just in how Ollie's dealing with his
mom. Oh, the ice.
That's our last moment.
I believe the
and
term is
Ollie.
Throwing shade.
And
I
look
think
at,
that's what that was.
And just look at Ollie just being really intuitive to Felicity. Yeah. I really like
what's
that he's really
on?
Intuitive with her. And this is great that they get to deal with it right here. This scene between the two of them is probably my favorite scene between the two of them ever.
Well, they're real people.
And
like,
I know.
There's
deal with stuff. Yeah.
Actual stuff going on. It's not it's not melodrama. It's just drama.
Mm-hmm. And this idea that he just says, I have noticed that you haven't talked about your family. Like, it's just this idea that they don't talk about certain things. And
I like the acknowledgement that we've never really gotten much of her backstory.
Yeah.
And that now we're going to get to
which is
like,
sort of interesting.
It's going to get a drip feed until it becomes important.
Yeah, until it becomes important. But, and I mean, because it
I'm
hasn't been
they bring
important.
In Firestorm at some point.
Interesting. It hasn't been important up until this point. So this is just great. She's just so... And see, he said this now, and I think that he's like, I don't think she will lose him because she's telling. Anyways, this moment is so great. No, it's yours. It's just the perfect response to that, right? It's
and
not
the
evasive,
look on his face,
and that we
and
don't
then we cut away.
And then we don't go back to it. It's just so it's great. By the way, where is this scene? I don't know where the grave is a different thing, but
the docks.
I don't know where we have docks. Anyways. It's pretty good. Well, I know where we have docks. Sorry. I haven't seen the shipbuilding. It's like it's a shipbuilding thing. Yes. Not a dock, right? It's a ship built, isn't it?
Or that could be anywhere in any of the industrial districts.
I want to know what's buried in Sarah's grave, by the way. Did we not?
Not that you would just be an empty casket. When there's no body, you just bury an empty casket. If you bury anything.
I guess. So, you see Sarah with the poison, and it's a misdirect. I never thought she was going to kill the other guy. I always thought she was going to kill herself.
Yeah, I thought she was going to kill herself.
It's because it's very clear that they sort of set her up in sort of, you get what she's going with, and she already was going to die once, and so you're kind of like, no, don't do this. And then this is actually makes the Detective Lance thing, you're like, you can't tell her, and then she's going to die, and it's just going to kill Laurel. Like, it just, it would not have been okay.
I thought that they might actually kill her in this episode.
Yeah.
And that Nyssa would take her back to Nanda Parbat and use the Lazarus pit, and that she would show up at the last second to save Oliver,
right? Like, oh, yeah.
And like towards the end of the season or something, like like Slade shows up to beat the crap out of him, and she is there to help him out.
Oh, Laurel follows him. Oh, I wondered how she ended up there. I didn't see that. I didn't catch that. I was kind of like, how does Laurel end up at the dock? But this. Look at this scene. We just come with...
See, now, I didn't need to wait for him to say, I know.
No.
It's on his face.
You know right here. You know, and you know with Felicity as well. This scene is so brilliant that he's just, like... Of course, they had the conversation, right?
Good performances
and
all around.
And it's just amazing. I don't know. That was a beautiful scene. Thea hasn't said anything this episode, actually. I don't think she says but anything. She's in most scenes.
She's in all the family.
She is, and doing a great job. So
she has a moment. She has a moment here during Oliver's speech where,
she just does a single look, and
everything you need to know about what she's thinking.
So here, I love these shots where you get Moira in the background and she looks at Felicity. She knows. In that moment, Moira knows. Like, look at her face. She knows. That Oliver has been told.
Yeah.
That, and she has to deal with all of it. I don't know. I just think it's absolutely, it's just well done.
Well, we don't know if Oliver is going to say something now. Yeah. Or...
I mean, it would be unfair to Thea for him to say something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't think he would have ever done that. But I just was wondering what he would say, or like if he was going to say something different. But this is, I don't know. It was just a great chance for him to sort of get this and be able to be, I don't know. Ugh, there's just a lot of weight to this. But Thea just is still sort of just waiting and being genuine about it. So it's kind of a...
very adult, and I just can't get...
You guys are talking about this, too. Is she allowed to work in a bar when she's 19? Like, that... You can in Canada. I don't think you can work in a bar when you're 19. Let alone own a bar.
In Canada, you can work in a bar as soon as you have your serving area.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's impressive. Maybe.
Yeah,
anyways.
Which I don't think you can get until you're like 17 or something.
I guess.
Like
okay.
That. But you
so
can.
That's good. Maybe you can. She just can't drink.
I think you just can't serve alcohol.
Yeah. So very interesting. No, she didn't say anything. Cynthia didn't. But
yeah,
she
no, she, I don't think she says
it's
anything
great.
In this episode.
Awesome. Anyway, so this is cool. They deal with things so well in this show that he, like, boom, boom, boom. And
well,
it's
just juggling
thing.
So many different,
different
story threads. Mixed metaphor, sorry.
Yeah.
Juggling threads.
Yeah.
I guess you could juggle spools of thread.
You sure can.
You can juggle anything.
Yeah.
Three of anything and you can juggle it.
So this idea that... so we know Ollie hasn't then met Ra's al Ghul because he says, if what I've heard of, which is kind of good that he's just really... it's a really prominent thing. And that... what did you say? It's that his go-to sort of... depoisoner or whatever it is from his
it's the
that he's
the
grabbing
herbs
as he goes.
The
I had no idea what he's grabbing, but I mean Mike knew. I almost called you Ollie. Feel proud.
I'm wearing red today.
There you go. Man, I don't know, it threw me off. So this is great. Go Alex Kingston. And Dinah gasping. Oh, I kind of like it because you couldn't really see her face while she was doing that, so the subtitles had to actually call her by her name. And it's Dinah. Oh, it's so good. Anyways, nice family moment for all of them.
Yep, the whole family's there.
Shush. You know what I mean. But I love that he takes her, and I don't really know why. I guess he's getting her out of the way, because I'm kind of like, why would he just leave Sarah there? I don't know. And then he comes back.
Because
so then it was
he,
okay.
knows. He knows everything.
And how dangerous
doesn't.
She is. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is... anyways, that was brilliant. Like, you sort of thought it was going to be like a dramatic thing where she was going to take it in front of her or something, or be stopped or something, but didn't expect her to have already taken it. That's cool. That was really
And there's, cool. That's why we saw Laurel's eye at the beginning. Yeah, so that we know. See that she's taking the poison. Yeah. Really great. That's really great visual storytelling.
Yeah.
So that, even though she says, you know.
Yeah, but still, poison, but it is great visual. You're right. And that sort of, that moment thoughts. With
fast forwarding, Nisa, sorry.
Nisa? With Nisa, where she screams no.
It's N-Y-S-S-A.
Nisa.
Yeah.
Nisa. Nisa should have a K at the beginning.
Sure.
So, whatever.
Nisa is also the princess of the Ewoks.
Okay.
Yeah, on the Ewoks cartoon series.
All right. Maybe I'm channeling other fandoms.
But that Nisa is spelled K-N-E-E-S-E.
Okay.
E-E-S-A.
Thanks for adding some knowledge that...
Some Star Wars knowledge?
I needed, clearly.
Yeah, well...
It's good. And now we're back to the dying Sarah.
Yeah. I love that color. They put her in red,
great color,
which is often used as a color to oppose that green.
Yeah, yeah.
They're opposites on the color wheel.
It settles. It's just really... Yeah. She's got a great costume.
It's so good. It's so well done.
Yeah.
We'll have to let Andy know.
Yeah. And, you know... Detective Lance getting completely knocked out there, and Ollie is here to save the day. I think he hits the knife and not her hand.
Yeah.
I guess that's...
He knows what he's
doing.
This
is great. Look at that. That was super cool. That was the coolest move of the whole thing.
Great move.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah, the sort of like...
Ninja!
The kep up, but she grabs the bow at the same time.
Yeah. And we have an arrow off here. It's sort of interesting. It's good. Has he ever had... I mean, Huntress had a bow and arrow, but not in the... She had, like, a crossbow, which is different. Have we ever had another... Well, Merlin.
Yeah.
Well, obviously. Right. But it wasn't as cool. It was a little bit more... I don't know. I like this because they're both, I think, more grounded characters than...
I love that he deflects the arrow with the bow.
Yeah. It's super well done. This is the fourth fight, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's a lot of fights in this episode. But a lot of them were actually very quick.
Small.
One. This one's over very quick.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, there's enough. So then Sarah not dead anymore. Or not... Is still
quite
alive.
Dead.
Not quite dead. And sort of... I mean, I think Ollie knows that their relationship was genuine because he's not, like, threatened by Nisa so much. Because he understands, I think, that they have a similar relationship to Sarah, which is good. And I actually think both of them understand that they have a similar relationship to Sarah.
Yeah.
Because you really get that, I think Nisa really gets it this moment with Ollie. I think she really gets it. And that's just beautiful. Like, look at her just being, I don't know. I just kind of want to... Sometimes I feel really guilty that we just have to, like, talk over all of these moments because it's
an audio podcast.
But is that her name? In the name of Roz, what was the tar?
Maybe it was Arabic or something.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe somebody can tell us.
Yeah. But I release you. That's really cool. Like, look at that. Great job, Katie. That's very brilliant. And so on the dock, I felt like she wasn't on a dock earlier, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a different angle that they were using.
She was.
That was a different cut. And here
geographically
we have
makes sense to
look at that. I mean, this reveal of Laurel is great. They're doing great, like, reveal shots. It's just, I don't know. It's a really well shot episode.
Yeah.
In terms of lots of different things. You act your butt off there.
Yeah. More commercial. Last commercial break, I think.
Yeah.
We're gonna come back and all of the drama is going to come to a head here.
It is. We get the Laurel, the seriousness. Oh, and the Moira. I forgot about this. Yeah. Oh, and the best part of the flashbacks here. So now we're back with the queen watching herself on television. Oh, yeah. These are all the greatest. This last act is phenomenal.
Oh, Curtis reminded me after that we forgot to mention something in the last episode. And that's that at one point in the comics, Oliver runs for mayor.
Oh,
of Star City.
Oh, okay.
So there's a little bit of a parallel here
of
Moira running for mayor.
Interesting.
And Oliver having been the mayor
nice.
Of Star City. So
well, that's a good. This is look at that. The monster is a really harsh word, and this is, he does such a good job here. Can we just talk, like, look at,
so good. Look this at that. I said it to you, like, when this, is, this yeah, scene kind of ends, like this just, is, this is the one that you send to the Emmys.
Yeah. Like, to this get is him just nominated. So
powerful. Ugh,
like those, the ability to have power to stop somebody
yeah.
in a scene is because he doesn't back away from her. Right. No. He just makes her like, it's just, yeah. Ugh, it's just so heartbreaking. I almost cried actually three times.
Well, and it's control because we know what he's capable of, and we yeah. know what his anger is like.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see that he's in control, and then yeah. at the same time, he's holding that opposing
yeah.
grief.
Yeah.
And it's all his body is saying angry, but his yeah. eyes are saying sad.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's such a yeah. great performance.
Oh, it's just so, ugh.
Such a great performance.
So good, and I mean, they are using these wide shots really well in this. Actually, this whole episode, they've been yeah. using them at the ends of scenes rather than at the beginnings, which is interesting. And here we have a happy family juxtaposed to, I mean, Laurel.
I don't know why no one's saying anything about, like, yeah, I don't think you need any more.
I mean, they all, I mean, because they, because who are they? She's dealing with something right now, I think.
Yeah, but this is, like, you can see it in Oh, Detective Lance's face.
That isn't that part of it, though? Isn't that part of it that she's sort of just being like, you guys are so caught up in what Sarah is doing right now that it's just sort of a, that's sort of part of it, right? That they are.
Well, this whole drinking thing has been a cry for attention,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
The drinking and the pills.
Yeah. And that they're sort of all focused on their own happiness right now, that they're yeah. sort of like, Laurel, just come over here. I don't understand why you're not over here. What are you doing? Like, just come over here.
Because her whole life is still falling apart.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is just, I don't know. She's.
But I said to you, because she says that everything's all your fault, Sarah. Yeah. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
None of what's happening to you right now
is
Sarah's
not.
Fault.
But if
you
you'll notice.
You put your life back together. And
this scene between the two of
apart.
Them here
yeah.
is very similar to that scene right before she
yeah.
got on the boat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she totally. Has sort of reverted back to this.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, to yeah. the last time that she saw
yeah, the
Sarah.
Last time that she saw Sarah, that I think they've always had a somewhat antagonistic thing. This is brilliant. I think this is the first real extreme close-up we've ever had of Katie Lultz, because I did not realize she had freckles. We don't really get a lot of extreme close-ups of her, because
yeah.
she's usually dealing with, like, other things. Anyways, this is just a brilliant. I really like it.
Right there.
Like, that's just.
That's the. Go that's the.
Like, that's the, Laurel. Yeah, that's the moment where you're like, villain! Please! So good.
Yeah.
So here we're back. You forget this, that they don't know that Sarah's gone on the boat. And the
yeah.
moment Moira showed up, I was like, oh yeah, they don't know that Sarah's gone on the boat. And they're just dealing with Laurel being upset because of Ollie.
Yeah.
And it's just such a, and he's sad for his daughter, which I just think is interesting. Because you get this sort of
he's trying
protective
to be strong,
parent. He's
right?
being strong for his daughter. But then it's just all, it's just Moira
yeah.
does such a good job here.
And
this
here
is
comes
just,
the moment
oh,
that's going to break
just,
him.
It's just such a good... This is such a good team. Wow, she got to act her butt off this scene.
Yeah.
This episode.
Yeah.
Everybody
so did.
Yeah.
Such a good episode.
Such, this is the Emmy episode.
And,
this really is.
Well, I don't know if it is because Stephen Amell says that it just keeps getting better from here.
But this is great that she reacts... The way she reacted to Tommy there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Was really... I just love that they don't forget about Tommy. That he's always like there, and this your Sarah. Oh, oh, and it just poor Laurel.
Because
this
Laurel
is, the moment
is
her,
realizing
this is
it,
the
and
moment that her
dealing
her,
with
her
it,
life
yeah.
is breaking. Look at her life breaking. Laurel's life is broken. Anyways, and now we have I totally forgot about Slade. We always forget about Slade, and then at the end of the episode, you're like, oh, yeah!
I don't
yeah!
know why you keep
Slade.
Saying we, because I don't forget
Fine.
These things.
Me.
You keep
I mean the people
Slade.
Inside my head that keep
I'm just waiting for Slade.
Whatever.
Every episode.
Yes.
Especially, like this Deathstroke Slade. I live for this every
awesome.
Week.
He's
so
he's
good.
He's so good. Like, look at that. Look at that swagger, man. Look at that swagger.
What's he gonna do?
You swag, man. Can I say what I said to you while I was watching this first?
I don't remember. Go ahead.
Don't you? The music that's playing here
oh.
is the we're going to have sex music.
It is.
It totally is. I don't know.
We were watching it and it was going along and,
yeah.
and it was just like whatever. And
yeah.
then you went, you said that, and I was like, oh, you are so right. And you could just... You could just tell.
You could just, like tell. Everything about the color tone in this episode. The gold light. How they're shooting it. It's a slow walk towards each other.
Oliver has his shirt off.
Oliver has his shirt off and is a little sweaty. And that the moment that it goes to that first...
He's glistening.
The moment it goes to that first wide where they're, like, the perfect distance apart from one another. Yeah. And they're shooting them on straight profiles. I don't know. Anyway,
but I love this. I love the subtlety of this. That... Oliver, this whole time, has been holding himself back since she came back.
Yeah.
He's holding himself back.
Yeah.
And right here, she gives him permission.
Yeah. I'm home because oh, look at that face.
And he realizes it.
Oh my God, I didn't
notice
until you just said that. Did you see his face?
So good. It's
Mike,
so good.
Mike, he's so good.
He's so good.
That was brilliant.
This show is so good.
Oh, I didn't see that the first time.
Now
I
that Breaking
it,
Bad
right.
is done, I defy you to find a better show on TV than
it's
Arrow.
Just so
this is
awesome.
The best show on TV. Oh. It's the best. I had to always qualify that before because everyone's like, "Oh, Breaking Bad, Breaking Bad, Breaking Bad," and I hadn't watched it. Now Crystal and I are watching it. And it's really good, and I really like it. Mm-hmm. But this is the best show on TV right now.
Yeah.
There is not a better show. I really love Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones is kind of like. Like, it's kind of piecemeal, and it takes too long to tell the story. But with this, it's like, bam, bam, bam.
Just,
every
yeah.
episode. Last week, Curtis and I were sitting here going, they just threw everything on the table that they've got.
Yeah.
And then Stephen Amell goes on Facebook and goes, if you thought that was good, just wait for the next three episodes. Because he was like 12, 13, 14. Incredible.
Oh, it's just, there's always
so good. We talked over the next time on.
Oh,
let's go back.
They
just
always have things that they can bring in. They're also substantive and they're also important and great. And it's just so.
Yeah.
So let's. Yeah. This.
So
next
time on.
Man, is there more? I feel as though the show. Yeah. What else can you do? So you get the
Slave with
the
Deathstroke.
So we're going back
mask.
To the island, which is great.
This voiceover from Clock King, Robert Knepper.
So we looked into that. So that's this guy, I guess, Robert Knepper.
And he's Clock King. We heard about that casting a little while ago.
I feel as though I don't know. I felt as though the preview was a little bit misleading because it was mostly focused on Slade, but then Clock King voiceover.
Yeah.
Because I think next week's actually going to be Clock King, and Slade stuff is mostly going to be in flashback and then dealing with a little bit in the future. But
I think
like,
dealing with Moira and with
Moira,
that part of the story.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I mean, I'd be interested to see Roy coming back more, but I don't think Roy will be. I mean, he was opening the door with gusto in that. preview, but I don't really know what else they're gonna do. But
I think we're gonna see more development on Roy's character.
You know what? This show.
I anticipate seeing that.
Having Felicity and Diggle, Roy, Sarah, and Ollie kicking butt and taking names.
Yeah, they're
and
a team.
just I love the show.
And Huntress is coming back in a couple episodes.
Oh,
man. I'm not sure. It'll be after the break, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, we're gonna have Black Canary and Huntress together, and with Felicity, that kind of makes the Birds of Prey.
I mean, you saw this
kind of work.
I sort of forgot about that, but you did have the scene today. It was a very interesting scene, and I couldn't put my finger on it. But now that you say that, I'm like, there was that scene where Felicity's sitting at the computer, and Sarah is over her and talking, and that's very. I mean, it would just make a lot of sense for them to do that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, Felicity is such a great character. I don't think she's going anywhere. Man, I forgot Barry Allen exists in this world. I think there was news casting that they cast Iris or whatever, one of the characters.
Iris
on.
West,
Yeah. So that's exciting. So if you want to find out who's casting that, going forward. I can't wait for the Flash series. Man, look, there's just so much awesome stuff happening right now.
Yep.
It's good. I always say that at the end of every awesome episode. I'm always like, oh, is this a good time to be a sci-fi fan? I love it. Anyways, less is more for this episode. Why don't we just stop talking?
That's good. Okay.
It's good.
Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us online. Quiverpodcast.com is our website. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/quiverpodcast. On Twitter, @quiverpodcast. You can send us email. Let us know what you thought about the episode. Even if we don't read it on the air, they all get, we read all of them, and we appreciate every piece of mail that gets sent in. mail@quiverpodcast.com. And it might get read.
And we tried, I think, I'm very proud of myself. Alan's email got read today because I think he wrote in after the West Coast feed, but we talked so long after we watched the episode that we then checked the email again before we started recording.
Yeah.
So that's good. So do send us in. We never know when you'll get your stuff read. And you can also keep a conversation going with just me and Mike on our own personal Twitters. I'm at A Konkin, A-K-O-N-K-I-N.
I'm at Arkwulf, A-R-K-W-U-L-F. And you can also you can jump on the Facebook group.
Yes.
There's always conversations. There's so many people in the Facebook group now and so many conversations going on that I cannot keep up with it.
It's right? So great. Like, there's always
which is
something
perfect. It's great. That's the way that it should be.
Always something Green Arrow in my newsfeed, and I love it. Yeah. Because I'm then always part of a conversation about Green Arrow every day, so I don't have to forget about it.
I feel like I wanted to get the website to a place where we were posting news and stuff was coming from quiverpodcast.com. But what I've discovered is that we really don't need to because you guys find the news before us because I'm usually seeing news.
Pulling stuff off of,
off of the group before I could even get it up on the site. So I might start pulling some of that stuff from the group and posting it on the Facebook page just because that's a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you guys are awesome with the Flash casting news and the Arrow casting whatever Stephen Amell or the CW post something. You guys are always really great at sharing that in there. So it's a really cool community. Yeah. You can also find more of Amanda and myself and our other projects, which we've talked about before. I've got some stuff coming up.
You've got a cool comic thing.
It's not quite out there yet.
Really?
Yeah.
I found it on your Facebook.
Yep.
That's not quite.
It can be found. I'm not hiding it.
It can be found. You're just not.
But we're not
putting it out there. Yeah. Okay. And when our other podcasts, like I say, I'm really stoked. I got to cosplay Sailor Jupiter yesterday. That was super fun. I did a debate. So when that's out on the internet. I don't know. I'm not in charge of when that goes on the internet, so I don't know when it'll come out. But it was super fun. And I have a super cute now Sailor Jupiter outfit. So if you guys have reasons for me to wear it, let me know. I love it.
I do not have a super cute super Sailor Jupiter. That's a super cute Sailor Jupiter outfit. It's a very hard thing to say. I do not have one. But Matt and I are going to be starting up the Rebels podcast soon because there's a lot of stuff to talk about with that.
You're special. Lucasfilm sent you mail.
Yes,
I think that's
Lucasfilm
great.
Lucasfilm did send me some mail.
So if you are interested in Star Wars, Mike is a pretty good source, as you can tell from the best source on the internet.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Fine, you know what?
I think Rebel Force Radio is probably the best source. Okay. They are in fact the source for the Force. That's their tagline.
Ooh, that's good.
That's their tagline.
I like it. Yeah. But you're pretty good.
I think you're
pretty good. Pretty good with
you know
Star
what?
Wars
if
stuff.
You have questions about the Clone Wars, then I am probably one of the foremost
people
experts
in that
specific subject. Yeah. And I hope to hold that title for Rebels as well. But.
And I just want to send a thank you and a shout out to people. A few podcasts ago mentioned my Kickstarter for my Blank Verse. Web series I'm doing, and a couple of you jumped on there and donated some money, so thank you so much. And someone asked, they watched the series and asked me if I watched Sherlock, because Sherlock does motion graphics, and they said, I don't know if you realize this, but your web series is very similar to Sherlock with motion graphics. And I said, and they're like, are you a fan of Sherlock? Do you know this exists? I'm like, yes, of course I'm a fan of Sherlock.
I think the proper response to that is doy.
Yeah, I know. Sherlock, awesome. Yeah. By the way, hopefully, I feel as though everybody watching Arrow or listening to this podcast is aware of Sherlock existing and it being fantastic.
By the way, I misspoke when we talked about Blank Verse. Yeah. I said that if everybody went on and donated $2 that you guys would hit your goal.
All right.
I was wrong. If everybody went on and donated $1, you guys would hit your
goal. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which is the minimum that you can donate on Kickstarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really, everybody...
They've been fabulous. And
I'm just saying, and that's just the Facebook followers, right?
Yeah.
Even if just everybody in the Facebook group went on. So post something on the Facebook.
I will. And you can watch some cool, if nothing else, go watch some cool Sherlock-style motion graphics that I helped create on my web series.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't actually do the motion graphics. I outsourced that to our motion graphic designer. But, I mean, it's kind of cool. So anyways, thank you for the acknowledgement and thank you for the support. I really appreciate it. And I'll maybe post something on the page so you can see some other cool things. And And yeah, me and Mike, we'll let you know what else we're doing as it comes across and yep. comes up. And
yep.
we'll talk to you next week. No, we won't. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, we've got a break. There's nothing next week or the week after. We've got two.
Did this say when the next episode is?
I don't know if it did. Yeah, February 26th is the next episode. So we've got now a break because.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so we've got 2 weeks off.
And that February 26th, I will have just gotten back from Disneyland.
I had a dream about Disneyland. I'm so jealous. Last night, I thought I was in Disneyland.
I had a dream about Disneyland last night as well.
Wow.
Actually, it wasn't specifically Disneyland. It was like the hotels around Disneyland.
Interesting.
And it's a really weird thing, and this is the last thing we'll say before we sign off on the episode, but my brain has this really weird visualization of Anaheim around Disneyland that I know is false. I know it's incorrect because I've been there and I have a super good memory for places, right? Yeah. For like I don't get lost. If I've been somewhere once, I can find my way around.
Yeah.
Almost like recreate maps and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But my brain in my subconscious has this really weird and I think it's an amalgamation of Orlando because I've been there twice and I've been to Anaheim once and I've been to Disneyland and Disney World and like they're very similar feelings and I went to both in 1 year and like,
so now you just dream about
it. So my brain, whenever like it goes to that place, it like just sort of mashes them all together. Yeah. And then Canada is different from the States, even just like architecturally. We have very different, especially like Vancouver and then most of the places that I've been in the States are very different.
Yeah.
And like I have this idea in my mind of what the United States looks like. And it's that. And it's this really weird, it was consistent with a dream that I had like a year or two ago. Of, like, where I think things are in my subconscious around Anaheim. But it's totally wrong.
It is,
it's weird. But I know that that's where it is.
My subconscious had me... I was actually in Mexico, but turned out that it was Disneyland as well. So, you know, our brains are interesting creatures. They create amazing things.
Yeah.
Such as Arrow. Well, our brains didn't create Arrow, but brains in general.
But we talk about it.
We talk about it.
So it allows us to...
It allows us
talk
to
for
talk
an hour
for
and a half about a TV show. That's only an hour. Yeah. So, with that, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you guys in 2 weeks on February 20-something. Oh, actually, 26. It'll probably be March 1st the episode goes up.
Right, yeah.
So we'll catch you guys in a few weeks.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Korean drama, that's actually like a good
you have Netflix, don't you?
I do, but
have you watched Breaking Bad?
No,
you should watch Breaking Bad. Crystal and I just started, it's really good.
Is it actually though?
Yes, it is actually.
I know, but it might not be something that I would enjoy watching.
I think you need to get past that aspect of your viewing habits because I noticed this with you, and it's something that I used to do before I went to film school. And that's that I would
prejudge
a lot of things. Okay, that's fine, and that's what I said too, but I really closed myself off to a lot of really great stuff.
Really?
By having the attitude of like, well, I like these things, so I'm going to watch these things. And it's like, that's really cool. I still watch Star Wars type movies more than I watch anything else.
Yeah.
But had I not gone to film school, I would never have... And if I wasn't friends with Johnny, I would never have open myself up to things like I would have looked at Conan the Barbarian, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and been like, oh, it's just a stupid Schwarzenegger movie. And I would have just crapped all over it, and I would not have let myself enjoy it.
Yeah.
But because I have a film school background, and because I have friends who have better taste than I do, it allows me to sit back and go, okay, I'm going to give this a try. Well, and if I don't like it, I don't like it. But I mean, the 2003 17-year-old Mike would not have watched Death Wish. And the Death Wish series is one of my favorite series of movies now.
Cool.
And they're ridiculous 70s revenge movies. And I talked my way out of doing a paper in film school because the book that, like, we had to do, like, a book report. And I never did book reports in high school. because they were never assigned. We always did, like, reading in class. But we had to do a book report on, like, one of these five books. And I picked one. I started reading it, and it was all talking about stuff from the 70s. It was like all, like, Burt Reynolds was the biggest star. Right, yeah. And I went to the guy teaching the class, and I was like, look, I'm like a third of the way through this, and it means absolutely nothing to me. Mm. Because Burt Reynolds is not a star anymore. This is pre-Star Wars. The Hollywood system is completely different now.
Yeah.
I'm not reading the rest of this.
Right.
I'll let you know how I feel about what I've read. But I'm not going to finish reading this book because it's just a bunch of outdated nonsense. Like, it's like reading an old textbook, right? Like that's how I felt back then.
Right, yeah.
And now I'm smart enough and old enough to know that that's a load of crap.
Yeah.
And that Star Wars doesn't happen without all that stuff that goes before it, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I think that you need to open yourself up and allow yourself to find out whether or not you're going to like something. Because you might find out that Breaking Bad is your cup of tea.
I know, Mike, that I can like everything.
Sure, but you just said, I don't know if I'm going to like that, so I'm not going to watch it.
Because,
like, that's what you just said to me. It's recorded
But that's not what I'm... Whatever. It's because it's not... I won't like it as much as other things that I could watch. Like, there's stuff that
I defy you to watch Breaking Bad and not like it.
I can watch Breaking Bad. I'm sure that I would enjoy it on multiple levels, but in terms of, like, having something to just consume, I would have to sit down. The thing is, I would watch Breaking Bad as, like, with a critical eye. Like, I wouldn't sit down to just, like, watch Breaking Bad.
It's the most critically acclaimed show of the last 6 or 7 years.
But television...
As a producer, you're doing yourself a disservice by closing yourself off to stuff like
that. I'm not closing myself off to it when I...
You're saying that you're not going to watch it.
No, I'm not saying that I'm not going to watch it. I'm just saying that the thing that I'm going to go home and watch tonight is a Korean drama. It's not Breaking Bad. Like, that's just all it is. Like, it's just...
But at this point, with your binge on Korean drama, have you not learned everything you can learn from Korean drama?
I've learned a lot of it. Yeah.
You've learned a lot of it.
But, I mean, I wasn't actually going to go...
Are you going to make Korean dramas?
I actually was going to... Well, I have an idea for a crossover Canadian-Korean drama. So, it's actually, like, really good. And, like, I want to make it.
Okay. I think Breaking Bad would inform making things like Blank Verse.
It will. I know that Breaking Bad is great, and I know I should eventually watch it. It's one of those things that I'll probably just, like, when I watch it, though, I'm going to watch the whole thing. Like, I can't just, like, watch episodes of things.
So I have watch to be, the whole, like, thing. The first episode, the first season is 7 episodes.
Yeah.
The second, third, and fourth season are 13 episodes each. Oh, and then the final season is 8 episodes.
Oh. That's very consumable.
Just watch it.
Yeah,
just
watch it all.
Don't watch it yet, because we're only partway through season 2, and I don't want you to beat me.
Oh, I would. See, that's the thing. If I start watching it now, I'll be done. I didn't realize that. I thought I was getting into 5 seasons of 22 episodes each, and then that is just a lot for me to deal with.
No, but it's not that much, and that's how I felt, too, because I was like, at a certain point, I was like, oh, maybe I'll catch up so that I can be a part of the series finale.
Yeah.
Bandwagon jumping, I guess, but I want to be a part of the conversation. Then I went, no... I don't have time. When do I have time to catch up on 5 seasons worth of TV? I totally could have done it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Not like Friday Night Lights, which is 3 seasons of 22 episodes and a couple of seasons of less than that. But
I'm not even caught up on Walking Dead yet. I watched those in days.
Oh, whatever. Don't worry about catching up on Walking Dead. It's crap.
What?
Walking Dead is not good.
Wasn't it? It is up to where I've watched.
The Walking Dead is a trick. Okay? Really? The Walking Dead is good like The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises are good. Okay? They've fooled everybody into thinking that they're good because people think that The Dark Knight Rises is good and that The Dark Knight is good because The Dark Knight in particular because it has Batman in it, so everybody's going to think that it's good automatically when it comes out. And then it has an incredible performance in it, right? Yeah. Like Heath Ledger's performance it's an Academy Award winning performance and it deserves it. But the movie itself is so full of problems, so full of ridiculous plot holes. You could drive that semi that he flips through those plot holes. Like, ridiculous, ridiculous. It's so poorly written, but Christopher Nolan is such a skilled filmmaker. As I give him all the credit in the world, but he's such a skilled filmmaker that he doesn't let you see the problems, right? The biggest mistake that Christopher Nolan ever made was making The Prestige. Because
I like The Prestige.
No, The Prestige is his best movie. This is what I'm saying. The Prestige is the movie that he needed to make when he got diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he knew that he had like 2 years left to live and he was going to go out on like, guess what, guys? This is what I've been doing the whole time. But he makes it before he makes everything else. Like, it was like his fourth or fifth big movie, right?
Interesting, yeah.
And the whole premise
is that
is The Prestige. If everybody's looking over here at this huge misdirection, The Prestige, you can pull off the trick. Well, The Dark Knight is just all Prestige. The whole movie. Oh. It starts and it's like the score starts in that movie and it doesn't end. It doesn't stop until the end of the movie. I would bet there's maybe 15 minutes of silence in that movie, and it's only ever used to punctuate things, right? Like, it's negative space for the sake of, like, it's more powerful negative than
it is. Yeah.
Right? But the whole movie is dun-dun, 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 and it's just, the whole movie is relentless. And so you don't get to stop and go, wait a second, how did the Joker do that? That doesn't make any sense. How did he load all of those barrels of explosives onto the ferries? Did his henchmen do it? How were they not noticed? How did nobody getting on the ferries know that this was happening? Somebody had to know. There has to be more to this plot than what we're being told. How does he know that Rachel Dawes is just as important to Batman as Harvey Dent? He doesn't. He has no idea. He has no idea. There's no reason why the Joker would know that unless he has information that we don't know about. In which case, either way, the movie fails, right? Because you didn't tell part of the story, which is that the Joker somehow knows that Batman is Bruce Wayne and that Bruce Wayne is in love with Rachel Dawes, even though they've never been in a relationship publicly, the only two people who know that they have a relationship or have ever had anything resembling a relationship are the two of them and Alfred. The only people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how does he know to kidnap her and Harvey Dent? Why wouldn't he kidnap the commissioner?
Wow.
Why wouldn't he kidnap...
That makes a lot of sense. Does Joker
the mayor.
Does Joker know that Batman is Bruce Wayne?
No, he doesn't in those movies. Well, like, if he does, then that's a piece of information that we're not given.
Wow.
Right? And it's like, it's a huge mistake. How does a guy with scars and clown makeup get into a hospital without anybody noticing? Is Gotham supposed to be that messed up? Because it actually looks like a pretty nice city.
Yeah, it does actually.
Anyways, so
sorry, okay.
This will probably now be the tag.
Yeah,
but and these are not my ideas. I didn't come up with this.
No, but
this,
that looks
other people's thesis.
I didn't even
thesis,
think of that before. That like he doesn't
the
realize
the whole
like,
thing's
why
a
doesn't
trick.
He kidnap the commissioner? Is a much better choice. The commissioner and Harvey Dent would be a good choice.
Yeah.
That would have been
because the commissioner is leading a manhunt and Harvey Dent's part, they're working
that would
together.
That makes much more sense.
So it's like, who are you going to save, Batman? Are you going to save the soldier or the general? Which one, right?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to save the
random
DA
girl.
Or this girl that I found with the DA? I guess. Well, that's not true. Maybe he put it together because Batman jumps out the window after her.
Oh, yeah.
When he busts in or whatever.
But she is the only one that's falling.
Yes, she is the only one falling. And he does that in order to get rid of Batman. But here's the other part of it. What happened after that? What happened after she gets pushed out the window? What happens? The Joker and his thugs have everybody at gunpoint, including Harvey Dent.
What does happen after that?
They crash into a thing, and then we cut to something else.
Really?
It's relentless. It just keeps going. It doesn't give you time to stop and go, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Right? One thing can be said about the Star Wars prequels, Episode 1 in particular. It gives you a lot of time to figure out that none of it makes any sense. That's not true. Episode 1 has a lot of issues, but the plot of the prequels is not the problem.
It's directing and acting. The plot is actually quite entertaining.
Natalie Portman's second worst performance. Her worst performance is in the first Thor movie.
Really?
She is as dry as the desert they're shooting in. Holy crap.
She was really good in the second one.
I'm on tonight. This is good. It will be a good episode. Okay.